Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Simple question today. It is Thursday. It's our last day on air. Sal Capaccio will be on tomorrow. Vibe check heading into the AFC Championship. How are you feeling? We got our first injury report yesterday. I think overall pretty good news. I think overall pretty solid.
Yeah, I would say,
Josh.
So. It wasn't anything like, you know, it wasn't perfect, obviously, but it was better than we expected.
No, the one thing I was genuinely terrified of, and we were hanging out like right after the show, and I'm sitting there like waiting with bated breath for to start.
Yeah.
All I needed to hear was Matt Milano wasn't technically hurt. It was just hamstring soreness. And it was like, all right, moving on. Time to get lunch. Let's go. Because, I mean, that was my one fear. You knew Benford would still be in concussion protocol, but he was limited, so that's good news. Mm-hmm. Deion Dawkins misses with an illness. You find that out a little bit later from the injury report. I'm not too concerned with that. It was a walkthrough. I imagine that's just more precaution of just like, hey, stay home.
Yeah. Like, just don't get anyone else sick and
to walk through.
Get better.
You've been here. You've done this. You get it. Taylor Rapp. Day-to-day, did not practice, but again, we've known he's been day-to-day. That's, I think, a good sign for him.
I think that's the key, is the fact that he's not like, oh, I don't know, like he's week-to-week. Like, that's the fact that he didn't practice, but it's only day-to-day sounds more promising.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, again, it's a walkthrough.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's not the end of the world if you miss a walkthrough. I'm not saying you should or anything, but...
But that was the one thing I was nervous about going into this, was the injuries. Because you've been healthy the whole year. It seems like every time you play the Chiefs, you're not healthy or something else is going on. Now, It's good. Here we go.
It is. I do love looking at like the injury report and seeing like, oh, Greg Rousseau, why is he on there? Finger full. Oh, okay.
We are really just putting everybody like, that like talks to a trainer.
Yeah, I'm like, what did he do? Did he get a paper cut? Like, what happened there? You know? So I think... Like I said before, it's not obviously perfect, but it's probably the best case scenario that we were expecting going into this week, because you kind of knew Christian Benford was going to be limited because of concussion protocol, and same thing with Taylor Rapp, but obviously not concussion protocol, just the fact that he was carted off the field with a hip injury, right? Like that alone was this kind of, you know, everyone's like, okay, hold your breath, let's see what happens here, but... Again, it's good news on the injury report. There's only two guys didn't practice yesterday, so.
How have you been feeling this week?
Has it
been getting a little more
nerve-wracking
for you?
I've been up and down. Like, when I'm here, it's funny. When I'm at work, I'm nervous. When I'm at home, I'm just like, yeah, let's just go. Let's just do it. Like, as soon as I get in my car, all my nerves go away. I'm listening to music. I'm like, yeah, they'll be fine. It'll be great. It'll be a great game. It'll be super fun. And they'll win for once. And, you know, they'll finally get over that hump. And then when I'm here, I'm like listening to all the sound and all and looking at all the old games. Like this morning in prep for tomorrow, I was getting some highlights from 13 Seconds. And I have never, ever rewatched or re-listened to any of the calls from 13 Seconds. And that alone just scared the crap out of me. And I'm like on an edge now. Like it's fluctuating with me. Like that's, I don't know what it is, but it's just like, it's getting to the point of the Ravens game where I'm like, okay, let's just get to Sunday. It's not been like that all week, but I'm getting to that point where I just want it to be 6:30, because I know on Sunday at noon it's going to take 24 hours to get to 6 o'clock. Like, not looking forward to that part of it.
That's going to be the worst. That will be the worst. I am like very cool.
Yeah.
Last week, as the week went on, I was, you know, Monday, it was exciting. That was the matchup I wanted because I wanted a rematch. I thought the Bills matched up better.
I get
that.
Not great,
but it was better than week 4. And then as the week went on, I was like, ooh, I don't love this. All right, let's go. And you know, I mentioned it yesterday with Aaron Quinn. I expected once the game had kicked off, I would relax. I'm working the whole thing. Let's go. And it was terrible. I had a stomach ache. I was not in a good headspace by any means. This week has been different. I have just been the same temperature, the same heart rate the whole time about it. I've watched a lot of previous championship games, not even Bills championship games. Like I've talked a lot about how in this playoff run, I've watched a lot of just old playoff games, full playoffs, what have you. I've watched a lot of stuff on Peyton Manning's career in the playoffs, Brett Favre's career in the playoffs, what have you. And I've been saying it a lot. It's not really founded in any kind of science because it's just a feeling, but it feels different this year for me. Where in the last 2 years, it was a lot of, I think they're running out of gas, I'm getting worried, I don't think they've got it this year, what have you. This year's completely different. And I look at a Chiefs team who is not great at stopping the run compared to Denver and Baltimore. They were the 3 and the 1, respectively, in stopping the run. And the Bills still had well above 55% success rate when running the ball. And then you look at who the Bills didn't have in that first matchup against Kansas City. Spencer Brown, who I think next year is going to have an all-pro campaign at right tackle. He has completely announced himself to the NFL world as one of the best right tackles. Deion Dawkins is great. And George Karlaftis is not a great run defender. They didn't have Spencer Brown this last game, last time around in week 11. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. They are one of the worst teams when it comes to covering the tight end. Who did the Bills not have last time? Dalton Kincaid. Now they've got Kincaid and Knox there. Mm-hmm. And then Shakir is playing at an incredible pop right now. He's got 13 targets, 12 catches, no drops.
Yeah, it's basically like the first, 5 weeks of the season where he didn't drop anything.
Yeah, where it was just way. Automatic.
Yeah. I also think that part of my kind of vibe going into this game, I don't know why, but it hasn't really hit me yet that it's the AFC Championship game. I don't know if anyone else is feeling like that, but I just think of this for some reason as a divisional game again, because mm-hmm. it's been so many years since the Bills have been back to the AFC Championship game. And and it's a weird feeling. I can't really describe it. Like, the more I'm thinking about it, the more it's starting to hit me. But like, the Bills win this game, they go to the Super Bowl. And I think that is a whole different level of nervousness and stress.
Mm-hmm.
But none of that is kind of in the picture for me yet. And I wonder too, if that's in the minds of some of the players, because I read a thing this morning that I think it was 43 players on the Chiefs roster have all played in at least one AFC Championship game before.
I think it's 14 Bills.
14 Bills have played in one AFC Championship game before. That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's kind of by design, I guess, because if you think about it, the Bills did kind of shed a lot of the old names. They not necessarily just veterans, but just guys that have been on this team for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is a good thing because you can kind of say, okay, let's get ourselves right here. What we had was not working. Let's keep the pieces that are and move on. Another part of that is you now have everyone coming in or people that are coming in with a fresh mindset, a fresh slate of hey, this is my first time here. Think of Keon Coleman or even Dalton Kincaid, second year, sophomore season.
Mm-hmm.
This is their first taste of the NFL playoffs. Well, not necessarily for Kincaid, but for Coleman, it's his first taste of the NFL playoffs. And he's going all the way to the AFC Championship game. There's all these different things that kind of go into play here, I think. But one thing that's completely different about this Bills team than years past is it doesn't seem like any of these guys care about that. Amari Cooper had a great quote yesterday talking about, teams going to championships and things like that, and how you kind of just forget about everything else because you just need to do what the team needs you to do and keep going to work every day.
I also like that he mentioned, too, of course guys will want 10 to 20 targets in a game, but sometimes it doesn't matter. You just want to win the game.
Sometimes it doesn't need to happen. Sometimes the team doesn't need that, and that's such an interesting quote for me. Because if, it feels like most of the team is kind of having that same mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really powerful. I think that's really infectious in a good way. And it's something that we haven't seen really from this Bills team before. Sure, they've been in the stage of, everyone doubted us and look, here we are. But that's past. That was years ago now. That was back in 2020. That was back in 2021. And now it's the point of, okay, you're expected to be here. Go out there and prove it. Because you know you can be here, you know you can do it, and then go do it. And I think that's kind of more powerful than the fact of like, oh, no one expected us to be here. Like, think of like what the Commanders are going through right now. Theirs is legitimate, no one expected us to be here. And that's fine because it's a rookie year quarterback mm-hmm. in a year where you weren't even expected to make the playoffs.
They won, what, 4 games last year?
Yeah. And then what, flipped it to, was it 12?
They won 12 games this year, yeah.
So it's, you have a time and a place for that. And I'm glad that the Bills are really, really pushing past that because it didn't feel like they were pushing past the whole nobody expects us to be here sort of thing up until like the past year or two. But now it feels real because you have all these new guys. You have all these guys who haven't been here before and they're all working cohesively together on the fact of, guys, we know we can do this. Let's go out there and do it, right? It's the confidence that brings.
Yeah, there has been a different attitude, I think, across the board for the whole team. McDermott's kind of gotten the brunt of it, and I don't mean that negatively, but most fans, I think, have sensed a difference in his personality and how he's talking to people, laughing a lot more when it comes to
his dad joke of the day.
Yeah, it's even little stuff like me, like with post game. I work post game. A lot of it is kind of you're waiting for McDermott to jump on because then we can kind of start moving. The train can start moving. Start taking breaks, the whole thing. And, there were times where you were waiting like 45 minutes for him. You're like, all right, dude, where are you?
Yeah.
Now, it feels like he's waiting for Allen to wrap up so that he can go talk.
Yeah,
and
right.
And sure, they're winning a lot, so that changes a lot of things. They win all the time. This is not a team that is dealing with 9-8 seasons and this happened to be a spontaneous, surprising 13-win season. They win double-digit games every year.
Right. I mean, if you look, they
flip between 11 and 13 wins.
They haven't had under 10 wins since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad year. I didn't realize 2018. I forgot how
that was the legitimate like, okay, we're rebuilding. We're gonna
yeah.
Get back up.
Like you make the playoffs, you break the drought, and then I don't know why I just kind of forget that year existed.
I barely acknowledge 2018, which is of course Allen's rookie year, but I'm like, no, right. it was his rookie year. The whole roster was kind of building.
But I mean, even then too, you haven't had under 10 wins. Like you had 10 wins in 2019, then you had 13, 11, 13, 11, 13.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who would probably say you should have had 14 this year. I mean, granted, you played your backups against the Patriots at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So that did change things, but nobody really cares about that because the Patriots ended up making the Patriots things worse because then they don't get the first overall pick. But I mean, like you said, this is a team that's used to winning, but it's winning in a different way. If that makes sense.
They look like, more like the Chiefs.
Yeah. They look more like, all right, cool, taken care of, let's move on. But it's not the oh, we're just waiting for the playoffs. It's the...
I'd argue kind of is.
Well,
they're playing playoff football constantly, which is limit the mistakes, get wins, get turnovers.
Oh, you're saying like in-game.
Yeah, like I think they are operating consistently as a playoff team.
Because I'm thinking like the outside fact, like the week leading up to the next game, it's like, oh yeah, here we are, we're playing. Oh, who are we playing this week? Oh, cool, the 49ers. Cool.
You mean just like it's a business-like approach.
Yeah. Like you didn't really have that this year, whereas I feel like in years past it maybe has sort of felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in-game, you're right. They are playing a playoff style of football because it's mistake-free. It's what can get us the points, what can make us control the game the best way. And that's how the best teams do it, whether it be regular season or the playoffs. And if that's what the Bills can continue to do from now on, then – sure. All you got to do now is get over this hurdle. You got to get over
it. It's the Chiefs.
It's not the hurdle being the AFC Championship game. It's the hurdle being the team you're playing. Because this would have been the same if it would have been the wild card round. If the Bills and Chiefs matched up in the wild card round, we'd still be having the same conversation of just get past them and then figure everything else out. Because that's really all it is at this point. And I do feel like they can do it this year, but I'm nervous saying that. And I don't know why. Like, is it the past scar tissue or what? But.
Yeah, I think it's this past scar tissue. I think the only thing that makes me nervous is not – I don't think the team can do it. I think they can. I think they've proven this year they are different. It's more how important this game feels. We've talked about a lot this week is that 2020 kind of felt so fresh and new for a lot of us. It's the first time that they were legitimately relevant since the early 90s.
What was the happy to be here feeling?
And there was a little bit of that happy to be here feeling. And while you made the playoffs the year prior, it was sort of this stunning, oh, the Bills can score a lot. And their quarterback went from, like, he's good, maybe. He's something. He's a weapon, too. He's just a great quarterback. And then all of a sudden you're in the AFC Championship. You know, it's a close game against the Colts and the Ravens. You had big moments there, but the fans weren't in the stands. So it was a little bit of this weird feeling, and then you were there. And then the last 3 years has been divisional round exits, mm-hmm. whether it be to Kansas City, to Cincinnati, and Kansas City again. Now you've got them again in an AFC Championship game in which they have not looked great the last 2 years. You have beaten them regularly in the regular season.
Handily, too. In some cases.
I think the thing that makes me most nervous is just how important this is, though, for, I think, McDermott, I think Allen, I think the Bills organization as a whole. I don't want to, like, sound negative, but I think it was the same thing, and I know Mike Shelp has brought this up, too, of, you know, as big of a win as the Ravens win could be, it could all go away a week from then, this Sunday, where if you don't get past the Chiefs, does that Ravens win all of a sudden get kind of shuffled to the side a little bit, like the perfect game because of what 13 seconds became.
I feel like that might be kind of, I think that's a kind of a recurring theme because every, like you just said, I mean, the perfect game kind of gets overshadowed by the fact that 13 seconds happened a week later. And I feel like, so I feel like every year we kind of have this thought of like, oh, well, what's going to get forgotten this year? What game or what week, like what few weeks are going to get forgotten because something crazy happens in the playoffs and you lose. Like, I think that there's so many things that get forgotten because of 13 seconds, because of the Bengals' loss, and because of even last year's, too. Like, there were a lot of moments last year where it felt like if you get the Chiefs here, everything's fine. And all of those moments kind of get forgotten because of the fact that you lost to the Chiefs in Buffalo, in Orchard Park. And so I don't think that that's necessarily, like, specific to this game. But I think in a season sense, but I think in a franchise sense, and if you're looking at careers for Allen and McDermott and guys like that, that's where it's kind of this overarching thing of like a lot of things can get overshadowed if you don't win this game. Not necessarily this year, but from now and for the future.
Yeah.
Because if you're looking at this, if Mahomes wins this game, he becomes the first quarterback to defeat the same quarterback more than three times without the other quarterback getting a win first. He's 3-0 right now against Allen. If he gets one more, he'll be the first quarterback in the playoffs. He'll be the first quarterback to ever do that. Also, he'll beat Tom Brady. He's tied with Tom Brady right now for the most touchdowns against a similar opponent in the playoffs. Brady has 8 touchdowns all time in the playoffs against the Jaguars. Mahomes has 8 touchdowns all time against the Bills in the playoffs.
Ew.
So he's going to beat that. He's got to throw one to beat Brady there. So
if he wins Sunday, he passes Montana for most playoff wins.
Oh, jeez. All right, wait. We got to bring this back. We went down the negative trail.
There's a few things here, I think, that are coming up.
But there's a lot for everything that there is for Mahomes to beat, there's that much and more for the Bills and Allen to beat. I mean, you beat the stigma of you can't beat the Chiefs. You save the nation from another Chiefs Super Bowl.
There we go.
Like, the world is counting on you right now. Aside from a small area in Missouri. Because Kansas City, well, actually, I don't know how big the city is, but maybe it's not that small.
It's solid. Yeah, it's not bad.
It's a decent size.
But it's not small, Chicago.
No. But a decent sized area in Missouri is the only thing rooting against you. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is on your side.
Maybe, would you even say the state of Kansas is rooting for the Bills?
Yeah.
I'm tired of
course. I mean, Patriots fans are rooting for the Bills.
Are they, though?
I've seen clips.
Oh. I've seen tweets. There are Patriots fans.
They may to preserve their dynasty.
Yep.
Because there is the feeling of, are the Chiefs going to pass us immediately after we're done?
You even have Miami fans. Granted, they're a little more devious in theirs, but they want the Bills to make it, so then they lose in the Super Bowl and go 0-5 in the Super Bowl.
By the way, yes, Patrick Mahomes and Joe Montana are currently tied for 16 playoff wins. So if Mahomes wins on Sunday, he'll have gotten 17. And both the Bills and Chiefs, just on early betting, would be the favorites against either Philadelphia or Washington, whoever wins in the NFC. So likely looking at an 18th playoff win. And then it's just Brady. We're already kind of getting there where it's which is another thing too. We're getting there in their careers where they're no longer the fun young guys. they're the veterans.
Yeah, which is kind of a, like, you, it's a blink and you miss it sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you go from they're rookies to, whoa, we're 7 years into their careers.
It just, it feels, 6 years into their careers. It feels so massive. We all kind of knew it would. It's not surprising. I'm not inventing fire there by saying it. It feels so massive, so important to everyone's legacy. Everyone in this game has something they're fighting for. For the Chiefs, I heard on ESPN today, we'll see if we play that clip back as well, talking about, Mahomes kind of trying to be the Jordan of the NFL, because Jordan did something in the NBA that hadn't been done since the 60s, which was a three-peat. The NFL's never had that. Mm-hmm. That could be a crowning achievement for Mahomes. No, you didn't beat Brady in the playoffs, but you did do something he never could.
Right.
You got three Super Bowls. And you kind of did it with teams that many would argue was not as talented as maybe your earlier iterations of your teams.
Oh, definitely this year and last year.
Reed is getting there arguably to the point of, are you the greatest coach of all time? Because of what you did with the Eagles. No, you didn't win a Super Bowl, but
you were really good.
You kept going to NFC Championships. Mm-hmm. You made it. You ultimately lost to the Patriots. But then you go to Kansas City, and you win three Super Bowls. You would win four.
Who's still ahead of him at this point?
Reed?
Yeah.
Because
it doesn't feel like there's that many people.
It feels like maybe just Belichick.
Is he?
I'd go Belichick, just in terms of just career longevity, achievements, the whole thing.
Sure,
the
longevity.
I'm fine with that.
But, as soon as Brady left, things went downhill for the Patriots. And
Reed had some disastrous years
in
Philadelphia,
sure,
too.
But it wasn't just the fact that they went downhill. It's that they were never going to get better. Like, they never looked like they were going to get better.
Well, I will say, Reed was fired after a 4-12 season. Which True. This
okay? Maybe the jury's still out.
Current day, it feels insane to say that Andy Reid was 4-12. They were like 8-8, and then 4-12.
Yeah,
and two straight years of no playoffs. So I mean, like, he's had his down years too, like Belichick did. That's the last thing we've seen of Belichick.
Maybe it is recency bias then.
Where with Reid, the recent thing we've seen is like, oh, they can't lose. Cool. That's love to see that.
Right.
And then you go to the Bills, and it's even small things to me too, of like guys setting up their careers. Allen, I think we all kind of definitively assume is a Hall of Fame player, when it's all said and done will be, but Sean McDermott, potentially a Hall of Fame coach,
mm-hmm.
with his career going and stuff like that. If they go 4-0 in the playoffs this year, he's going to have a winning playoff record for probably the next few years. They win wild card games like it's their day job. now we're winning divisional games, or at least we have. Allen, I've mentioned. What about guys like Spencer Brown? Or Terrell Bernard, who are relatively young in their careers, mm-hmm. and putting
Christian
up
Benford.
Really good stats. Christian Benford are putting up good stats and can maybe start racking up accolades because, you were on a Super Bowl winning team. Mm-hmm. There's a few guys I think of that, that. McDermott, though, I tweeted it out today too, because he, unsurprisingly, because it's just at this rate, is not named one of the finalists for Coach of the Year. I don't want to say I'm a McDermott apologist. I do have those tendencies at times, though, with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like him to earn some damn respect in this room.
Right.
I don't mean this room, but like,
no,
what was Dan Campbell's expectations that he has to be the favorite for Coach of the Year? Your expectations were win the Super Bowl. Good for you. You were the one seed. You did exactly what everyone expected.
And then you lost.
And then you lost. And I get it. It's a regular season award. But then you lost. McDermott's mm-hmm. expectations, I don't want to say like by everybody, was that you weren't going to be as good. But any talk show was, this is the year the Dolphins are going to do it. This is the year the Jets are going to do it. Yeah, the Bills are in a transition. I don't know what they're going to do. They won 13 games. You already argued it. If the one seed was still available, they play all their stars against the Patriots, they go 14-2 or 14-3.
Mm-hmm.
They locked up the division in November. They're in the AFC Championship. I want him to get some respect, and a Super Bowl does that.
Yeah, I mean, the other candidates were, it was Dan Quinn.
Fine.
Dan Campbell.
No.
Andy Reid.
No, it's the same thing. Well, your expectations were to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
You're the one seed. Good for you.
Right, and you limped to a record of 15-2.
Dan Quinn and Kevin O'Connell. Those are my.
Yeah.
Those
guys
are the two
are
that fine. I'm
fine. Right, but other
everyone
than that,
else, what were your expectations? Good, you met them. that good. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Frustrates me to no end, and then. We'll get to some of the awards as well. Got to take a quick timeout here. 803-0550, the number two call. Alan, Jason, we'll get to you guys here after a quick timeout. We'll talk more on the Bills as well, especially in the 11 o'clock hour. Alex Brasky of Batavia Daily will join us at 11. Sal Capaccio at 11:30. Vibe check, as this is mine and Josh's last day here on the mid-morning run. for this week. Where are you feeling on a Thursday for Bills Chiefs, the AFC Championship game? Love to hear your thoughts. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
You always remember the feeling of not pulling through. It sticks with you for a while, and it really doesn't leave. But again, I think every year that you go through in this league, you learn more things about yourself, about your team, about the game of football. You know, we're just grateful and humble to have another opportunity at it. It's another week that we get to play, because really there's only four teams playing right now. So we look at that, and you know, we just love the opportunity that we have.
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen. It's also kind of cool seeing the new backdrop for like every team.
Yeah.
So I saw a few Washington players playing, and it was like, now they got the NFC Championship game banner. Bills, Chiefs have the AFC Championship. Man, I cannot wait. Cannot wait for Sunday. Game starts at 3 o'clock with Philadelphia hosting Washington, and then 6:30 is our game, Bills at Kansas City. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. How are you feeling on a Thursday as we get ready for the AFC Championship? We will start today with Alan on the line. Alan, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you guys? First of all, when that Houston game ended last week, I said to my son, oh my gosh, we got to get this Chiefs team. Holy cow. Houston went up and down the field on that team. And I'll say this, and I said it again, if Fairbairn doesn't miss that extra point to tie the game, I think it's a different game. I think that took the morale right out of the team. And you look, 10 minutes and 30 seconds they held the ball at the start of the fourth quarter, Chiefs had no answer. None. They couldn't stop Mixon. Mixon was running all over the place. Over the middle was that tight end. I can't remember his name. Houston's tight end. But my other point is this. Last week, I was very nervous when we played the Ravens. I said, you know, I still believe we're going to beat them. We're going to find a way to win because that's Buffalo's Bills football. But I was nervous. If the Ravens were to play the Chiefs, I think with Henry, they would have pounded them. I think the Ravens are a better team. I feel great about this game. I picked the Bills 30-17. I personally think the Chiefs are going to get a late touchdown or a late field goal, and I don't think this is going to be close. I think Buffalo's on a mission. You can't lose four of these games in a row to this team. I mean, you can.
Yep.
But you can't. You just can't. Mm-hmm. Allen wants, you know, Allen's not in his third year anymore, his second year. He had a phenomenal year. And I know people say, oh, the Chiefs are upset because of the first game. Cincinnati went in there three years ago. And the way they beat Mahomes, they didn't let Tyreek Hill try a few trick plays. They stopped him, and they got to Mahomes. They pressured him. I think Mahomes even fumbled once, if I'm not mistaken, like around the 30, 35. And they were in his face, and they should have beat him, I think, the next year when they had him in the championship game. And I think there was a couple – I mean, I'm not going to go there. I'm not one to complain. A couple bad calls at the end of the game that Cincinnati fans were going crazy. But I thought they outplayed him then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thank you. And I'll just hang up and listen to you. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call, man. I like that you brought up that drive, too, to start the third quarter. I thought Houston was masterful on that drive. I think it was to open up the third quarter. Mixon ends up finishing off with a 13-yard touchdown run. And then, yeah, like you brought up, Kymie Fairbairn's missed extra point, keeps it at 13-12. They then have the touchdown pass to Kelce, and it kind of gets away from them. But we brought this up yesterday with Aaron Quinn, and I think Sal as well, where, yes, every team that lost – on divisional weekend, outgained their opponent.
Mm-hmm.
The difference really was the turnover battle. Washington was plus +5. Bills were plus +3. I think Philadelphia was plus +1. The difference was that Houston and Kansas City were even at 0. It was really, you know, C.J. Stroud's taking terrible sacks that was pushing, that was kind of killing drives. They had a few moments that were just missed. Kymie Fairbairn misses that extra point. He also misses a field goal earlier in the game as well.
There was just like, I feel like it's those mental mistakes that we have seen other teams do against the Chiefs in the past. And that's kind of like, not to completely discredit the Chiefs, but that's a big part of how they win these games sometimes. I mean, there's days where you see Patrick Mahomes is not Patrick Mahomes and their offense is not working. And especially since Tyreek Hill has left. And they still somehow pull these wins out because of the fact that the other team is making these mental mistakes. I think it's partially on the Texans specifically. I think it's partially on C.J. Stroud just being, it's his second year. He's still getting into the groove of the NFL, and things did not go as planned at all this year, I don't think, for Houston. I mean, Houston was kind of expected to be this AFC powerhouse, and granted, they did have some injuries, they were very all over the place all season long. So I think that partially plays into that specific matchup. But in terms of looking at the Chiefs overall, like look at the Week 11 game. Mm. The Bills played smart, mental, mistake-free football. They had one turnover, sure, but it didn't affect the game. They didn't let that affect them. They went out and got two turnovers of their own and still kept control of the game. That's the key against these guys, against these Chiefs, is you have to just control it in your way. Let them think they're playing their game, but just control it and play it your way. And that's like the best way to beat this version of the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was you just got to outgun them. Now it's you have to outplay them, and I think the Bills can easily do that. They did that to the Ravens, who looked to have the better advantage all over the board.
And I agree with Alan too on that on the call, because I was saying it last week that the winner of Bills Ravens I thought would go on to beat the Chiefs. I think mm-hmm. they're both playing better football than the Chiefs. Yeah. You also look at it too. Going back to that Week 11 matchup, the big thing we were talking about was third down efficiency and just how exceptional Kansas City was at it. I think they were close to a 50% pop every third down. They were first in the league, what have you. Against Houston, they were 4 for 11 on third downs.
Yeah,
212 total yards. They won that game off of bad mistakes by Houston. When I say that, I mean more Kyme Fairburn's misses and 8 sacks on C.J. Stroud. That's what won them the game. It was not anything that he did on offense. Dalton Schultz was the tight end Alan, the caller, was talking about. He went 4 for 4 for 63 yards.
Yeah.
That's close to the stat line going back to Week 11 that Dawson Knox had. And for much of the year this year, Dawson Knox has kind of been up and down. You don't really know why he's there with Kincaid. He had 6 targets for 4 catches, 40 yards against the Chiefs back in Week 11. You wonder how Kincaid's going to go, especially with how good the Bills are at tight end top to bottom. They're not great necessarily, but they have good NFL tight ends, and how bad Kansas City is at defending that position specifically. Khalil Shakir was also somebody that went off. That was one of his early games. I think he had like 8 catches mm-hmm. or six to 8 catches, something like that. But he was targeted a lot. He attacked the middle of the field. This is not the Ravens game. I think that's the key thing to remember here. The Ravens matched up better defensively to stop the Bills from scoring. We maybe didn't talk about it nearly as enough as maybe we should have, because we're talking a lot about stopping Henry and such. But I think the Ravens matched up better at slowing the Bills down, really making life difficult. The Bills, though, were able to still find success running the ball like they did against Denver. I think they can do both against Kansas City, and I think that's the key. I do think they're going to score 30. I don't know if it's going to be necessarily 30-17, like the caller Alan was saying there, and maybe a late touchdown as well to make the score look a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to put up 30. I do. I think they can move the ball on this Kansas City team.
I think an interesting thing to look at, like if you want to – let's say get away from Chiefs-Texans, because that was a game where if you're watching it, you're kind of getting frustrated with the Chiefs, right? Like if you want to look at a different...
Yeah, I hated the whole game.
Right. But if you want to look at a different thing that you can kind of almost compare it to in terms of how the Chiefs were able to win that game, look at the week before, Rams-Vikings in the wild card round.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings had the better team, I think. Overall, like performance-wise throughout the whole season, they had the better team. Mental mistakes are why they lost that game. Sam Darnold was sacked 9 times against the Rams.
So bad.
It was really
awful.
Bad. The Rams were outplayed by Darnold still in the throwing game. I mean, sure, it was only 45 yards. Like Matthew Stafford had 209 yards and Darnold had 245.
Well, they got away from it. I mean, the Rams were up so early that...
Right.
Vikings needed to throw,
right.
Even though
they
kind of did.
But even if you look at like the team stats, like it was still pretty even. But the fact that you have sacked 9 times, mm-hmm. the Rams were 2 for 10 on third down.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, they just never got on
the Vikings. Okay. The Vikings were 6 for 17. It's just if you want to just not look at a Chiefs game for this, look at a game like this where it. Yes, sure. Maybe the Rams in the moment were better than the Vikings, but overall, I think the Vikings could have been better and beaten the Rams.
2 for 10, wow.
Yeah, but that game had a lot of mental mistakes in it from the Vikings offense specifically. But that's something that you have to just avoid against a team like the Chiefs. You avoid that against any team, really, and you win the game. Mm-hmm. You make the least amount of mental mistakes that lead to on-field mistakes, and that's how you win it. That's how you win the turnover battle. That's how you win time of possession.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, broken down. And I think that the Bills have really done that well this year.
Yeah, they
especially
keep doing
with
it.
The evolution of Allen.
As much as maybe people are thinking, like, all right, it's gonna slow down eventually, but it hasn't.
Right.
So I've now hit a point with at most two games left. It's not going to stop this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they're going to win games, and they're going to keep winning games. It probably will stop at some point next year.
Sure.
I can't now bank on it or get worried that it's going to stop this year, because it hasn't.
But listening to Josh Allen talk yesterday too, and he kind of made the joke about that lateral with James Cook, right? Like, where it was like, yeah, the good guy won on that one. Like,
yeah.
It's funny, but it also shows you like how much he's actually grown and how much he's changed his mindset, if you will.
He really thought about doing it.
He did. I honestly think he could have done it.
Like a psycho.
I really think he could have done it. I had faith in him. If he threw that lateral was going to be a touchdown. But I'm glad we didn't have to find out, because that would have been terrifying.
I'm glad we didn't have to deal with that. Next up is Jason on the line. Jason, how are we doing this morning?
Great. I agree with Alan. I'm so confident about this game. I mean, the Chiefs have a pretty record, but they failed the sniff test. They've been getting by in smoke and mirrors all year. And like you said, on other people's mistakes, and the Bills simply aren't making them. I mean, their defensive backfield is healthy and high functioning. Their running game, they could throw anybody in, and I think they'll run all over the Chiefs. I'm just really confident. I think the coaching staff is in a better position than they were in past games. I think the mindset's right. And I think it's going to be a big win, and I think it's going to be an easy win.
Jason, thanks for the call. I love the phrasing of "they don't pass the sniff test." That's so good. And there's no better way to say it than "they just don't pass the sniff test." Mm-hmm. They have a pretty record, like Jason just said there, but they haven't looked great really all year. They had two games to end the year where it was like, ooh, maybe they figured it out. Here they come. But then you looked at the teams and it was like, oh, it's Pittsburgh and Houston. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And then we get to the playoffs, and sure, there's always an argument for rust versus rest. I get it. But then we get into the playoffs and they get by on 212 yards, but they got 8 sacks on a quarterback who has a really bad offensive line.
Yeah.
And seems to be prone to getting sacked and to taking bad sacks. Where Allen is sacked the least amount in the NFL. And unlike the last matchup, their potential, you know, all-world right tackle is in. And they're healthy in the offensive line. And like the caller brought up, they kind of can throw at anyone they want to run the ball, and it's working. Ty Johnson's the guy that gets the game-clinching first down.
Yeah. On a huge run, too. Big run from him. Like, and that's the thing, is like, when you have guys like Ty Johnson contributing, like where it's like we had the conversation last week, that Baltimore caller. Oh, like Justice Hill, I think he'll do something. Who's Justice Hill? Well, a lot of people would probably say, who's Ty Johnson? To us, he's great, but
he's the guy.
It's the unknown players that really do it to you in these playoff games. That's the guys that step up and step out of the woodwork and get things done.
Mm-hmm. And Johnson continues to make plays for them. Cook continues to make plays for them. Ray Davis,
by the way,
comes back from concussion and is having crucial runs.
Mm-hmm. Looks fantastic.
Looks good
too. Yep. Yeah. To go back to the caller's point too, not passing the sniff test all season. The Chiefs have reminded me of the 2020 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, they just happened to win a playoff game.
Yeah, sure. But every single game, it felt like they were the 2020 Pittsburgh Steelers, because there were games in that run for the Steelers where they were blowing teams out and winning by a lot, and then there were a lot of games where it was very close.
Yeah,
and it was like, whoa, this could end and go down in a blaze of glory.
They said a typical Steeler ending of the season where it's like, oh, and you're bad. Okay.
Yeah, then they lost three.
Then they go into the playoffs. Bad.
They lost four out of the last five games.
Yeah,
and went to the playoffs 12-4, lost 48-37. To the Cleveland Browns.
803-0550, the number to call. Coming up in just under 15 minutes, Alex Brasky, Batavia Daly's going to join the show, talk a little bit more Bills and Chiefs. What are his thoughts going into Sunday? We'll also be joined by Sal Capaccio at 11:30. Bills, their first real practice today. We'll also get a little bit of the word, though, on the injury report from yesterday. What are Sal's feelings as well going into this game? Zach Jones, Josh Mann here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Mann, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Real quick segment here before we get to Alex Brasky at the top of the hour. The Jacksonville Jaguars did in fact move off of Trent Baalke, their GM since 2021. He's been with the organization since 2020. Oh, man. I mean, just what a bad situation they're in. Liam Cohen, while on the show, we found out that Liam Cohen was pulling himself from consideration for the Jacksonville head coaching job. And then within like 4 or 5 hours, the news broke that Jacksonville was parting ways with Alex Brasky. They weren't firing him. They were parting ways, because that's the nice way to say it. What a tire fire. What a joke of an organization. Everyone and their mother was telling you, if he's still the GM, you're going to be limited in coaching prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Shad Khan looked himself in the mirror and went, not today, Satan. I'm going to prove something. And then 3 weeks later, he fires him. Some conviction.
And misses out on Ben Johnson and Liam Cohen.
Maybe Liam Cohen. I don't think he's signed an official extension with Tampa. So they say,
I think he's kind of missed out on him.
But I mean this honestly. Have some conviction. You wanted to keep him and hire Robert Saleh, because that appeared to be the favorite. You wanted to keep him, keep him. Let's go.
Yeah.
Don't you know, dance around the idea. No, you want to keep him, keep him. Because now, what are we doing here? You missed out on all the good coordinators, because Aaron Glenn's taken up, Ben Johnson's taken up, Joe Brady's still playing. Cliff Kingsbury's still playing, so maybe you have an option at them. But now you look like a joke.
Yeah.
You look like a disaster. If I'm Liam Cohen, I'm getting on my phone laughing, hanging up. That's my whole thing that I'm doing.
And also, who's going to be their next GM? Like, who wants to go into that situation where the owner can't make concrete decisions?
Can't make a decision. Yeah, just can't make a decision.
Like, sure, you get to work with I saw a picture of Patrick Mahomes. You get to work with Trevor Lawrence.
In a bad division.
In a bad division, but you have to work with potentially a bad owner. Like, that's not inviting for either head coach or GM.
And you get to play in London every year.
Yay.
Although you do get a new stadium here coming up.
It's a renovated stadium.
It's not, I don't think it's new. It's
Renovated? Well,
it's going to basically be uber modernized.
Yeah.
Modernized.
Are they still going to have the pool? That's all that matters. That matters.
If more sports stadiums need pools.
I don't know if more.
If you're all of the Florida stadiums. If you're in a hot state, you should have a pool in your stadium and have that be an option for fans.
That feels right.
Yeah. About every baseball park has a pool.
The Diamondbacks, theirs is really cool.
If it's Arizona, that makes sense. If you don't, it's like a health concern.
But because not the whole stadium has a pool.
Well, no, but they put it there and they're like, all right, we're done. Now we're good.
I guess. I just think
it's more I like the idea of the Yankees are we put a pool and everyone's like, for what?
No, see, that would be weird. But now if you draw a line across the middle of the country, specifically for baseball teams, have hot tubs in the colder states and have pools in the lower states.
I can get with it. That's all I need in this new renovated stadium for Jacksonville. Have a pool. That's it. 803-0550, the number two call. Coming up after a quick timeout, Alex Brasky of Batavia Daily joins the show talking more on the Bills. We might throw some Sabres questions in there. He's got some of his listeners and readers kind of getting after him on it. So maybe we'll have some fun with that. Zach Jones, Josh Mint, hanging out with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.